Welcome to Coder Catch Up. Today I'm going to be talking about the recently released Hanami 1.1 framework, which is a Ruby framework. It's a brilliant release. It's really nice to see a very structured, well thought out release. And if you are looking for an alternative to Rails, Hanami is the framework for you to choose if you want to stick to the Ruby ecosystem. So let's have a run through of what's been released in 1.1. So 1.1 has been released. I'm really excited about the Hanami framework as a whole, the ideas behind it, how it structures your applications and what allows you to do going forward in the future. So it's really exciting to see this 1.1 release, and they've already talked about in this post that I'm going to be going over what's going to be happening in there or when their 1.2 release is going to come out. So getting on with it. So what we've got here is on the 25th of October, this was announced. 1.1, they've got new associations, so belongs to, has many, has one and through. So that's really nice to see, has many through. It's nice to see those associations in there that if you are used to building applications through some kind of Active Record or something like that, you'll notice these associations and how familiar they are. So I'm not like over the moon, like, whoa, that's crazy, but it's just a good thing to see. Like, it's really nice to see that there. It's going to be more familiar for people who are newly coming across to Hanami, maybe from Rails. It's good to have those kind of things that you use on a fairly regular basis that I find in the applications that I build. So it's nice to see that there. They've also rewritten the CLI, which is great because they've done it in a way that allows you to extend the CLI yourself through plugins, etc. There's some things with schema changes and selectively booting apps, which I think is very interesting. And it's a missing feature that I didn't know Hanami needed, so it's really good to see there. So getting on with the associations. So now they've got belongs to, which is great, has one, has many through, which is just, these are the associations that I find are used quite often. So has many through, not super often, but enough. Has one, very, very oftenly used, and belongs to is probably the most used association that I find in probably most of my applications. In some way, some kind of entity is going to belong to something, so this is a good way to reference it there. Now, getting onto the CLI, they're talking about how they rewrote that for replacing Thor and using a new gem Hanami CLI. And basically, that's going to allow you to extend. So this is a framework that was built, I believe, with ROM. I think they're saying it here, ROM and Trailblazer to build their own CLIs as well. So you can see it's not just something that they've built to be like, oh, this is just for us. So that's really nice to see there. The main thing that you really get from this is that you can extend it. Now, this is something that I love with Rails CLI is I can build a gem or something like that that hooks into, or even a rake task that hooks into Rails CLI, and I can have a Rails command there. So I can do like Rails whatever. That's really nice. And now you can do that with Hanami, which could be really beneficial depending on your project and what you're trying to achieve from integrating into the CLI. So really, really nice to see there. And it's probably going to lead way to some really interesting additions to Hanami in the future, whether it's from third-party providers or from Hanami itself. So really good to see there. Next thing is entity custom schema mode. So entities by default infer their schema, so the set of attributes from the corresponding database table. Now, this is something that I saw back a fair while ago in, I think it was Django, so it's a Python framework. And it's nice to see that you don't really have to set a lot of things up. It's just like, that's what the database has. I know they're there. That's what we're going to use. But sometimes you're not happy with that kind of behavior and you want to do something a bit different. So now they've got this custom schema ability, so you can then define things how you want. And of course, you can have them strictly typed as well, so you can make sure that the data that you're newing up or getting ready is going to be the correct type, which is good to see there. Now, this is the one that I'm really interested in, and I find is this missing feature that I didn't know Hanami needed. So this is selectively boot apps. So I'm going to read this verbatim from the blog here. So it says, with Hanami, you can build your project by following the monolith first principle. So basically what that means is you build your application as a single application, and then later on you then would split it out into smaller applications. So the monolith is just like one big giant repo, everything in the one thing. So they're saying here, you can add more and more code to the project, but growing it organically by using several Hanami apps. So this is where I really find the architecture of Hanami quite nice, in the fact that you can build a monolith and still split out things into what they call apps. So these could be like sections, like maybe you have an admin section, a web section, an API section. And that allows you to keep these separations of concerns. And then when you need to split out to, say, web services or microservices, you can split those out very easily. And you don't have all the troubles of doing that because you can just build it as one. So if that kind of makes any sense, it'll probably make more sense when I discuss a bit further. But here they're saying there are cases of real-world products using a dozen of Hanami apps in the same project. So they're talking about web and admin, etc. They deploy the project on several servers by booting only a subset of these apps. So the servers A, B, and C are for customers. So say the web application. D is for administration, so the admin application, while E and F are for API, so the API application. So to serve this purpose, we introduce a selective booting feature. So basically what is going through in the configuration, you can basically say, if the app is an API app, require the API app, mount it, and off you go. And they're saying here, then from the CLI, use the Hanami apps environment variable, and you just basically say what you want to boot up when you run the Hanami server. Awesome. Like, this is an absolutely awesome feature. I think it's great. Why this is awesome is because you can still build your monolith and separate your concerns out into, you know, API, web, etc. But you can actually selectively just push out the same code and then selectively boot each of those applications. So you're kind of getting this microservices architecture while still keeping the monolith, because orchestrating microservices is, or can be, tricky until you've really got it. It can be tricky, and even then it can still be a little bit hard to onboard new people and make sure they've got everything set up and everything's talking to each other. This kind of eliminates that, because standard normal development, you run your Hanami server, bang, off you go. Or if you just want to run a subset, now you can just specify the Hanami apps environment variable, pass in a commerce-separated list of the apps that you want to run, and it will run. So fantastic to see there. So next thing is logger filtering. So with this release, we automatically log the payload from non-get HTTP requests. When a user submits a form, all the fields and their values will appear in the log. To avoid sensitive information to be logged, you can filter them, which is great. So this is something that Rails has and allows you to filter things out. It has some sensible defaults in there, so passwords and stuff like that. So this essentially mimics that kind of behavior. So you can filter out anything that's important to filter out, which you don't want going in the logs, because people often forget, and I've seen this and I've actually done this myself in the past, is there's some sensitive data put in there, and then I've realized later, like, oh, that shouldn't be in there. So I've had to clear out all the logs, make sure there's no backups or anything like that, so that information is fine, and then make sure that it is filtered properly. So it's very easy to miss, and I'm sure a lot of people have done it before and just not even known. So if you're not too sure about that, go check your logs, because it's more than likely you've probably left some sensitive information in there that you didn't want logged that's been logged. It's just one of those kind of double-edged sword. Like, it's great, everything gets logged for you automatically. You don't have to actually specify what gets logged, but you do need to keep in mind, oh, I've added this sensitive information, I need to blacklist that from the log. So really good to see there. And there's a bunch of other minor changes that they've added in, which I'm not going to go through. To kind of round it out, next thing, Hanami 1.2, the first beta will be released on February 2018. So it's really nice that they've actually given a time frame for when the next version is going to start to come out. So that beta, which I've found the betas have been quite usable, which is great. So you've got a time frame for that. So you can kind of work out, okay, cool, we're looking at an upgrade probably, you know, March, April, possibly, to go up to 1.2. And you can kind of schedule in some time for doing that upgrade. And I do recommend trying to do the upgrades as soon as you can when they come out. If you're a little bit cautious, maybe wait a week or two, just in case there are any other really minor bugs that have come in that weren't picked up during the release process. But that's essentially all I really got for this one. I really love Hanami. It's certainly a framework that I find suits how I think these days and how I want to structure my applications and the benefits that it has over just creating one big monolith that I can't separate out or I can't run parts independently. So it's really nice to see, and I think the Hanami team is doing a brilliant job. It's a fantastic framework. If you haven't checked it out, I've got some other videos on the YouTube channel talking about Hanami and running through some of the awesome features of it, which is really nice to see from a coding standpoint and a maintainability standpoint, as well as future-proofing your application. So it's a brilliant, brilliant framework, and I really do hope more and more people get on it and start using it as an alternative to Rails or something just even to look at to play around with and just see if it is something that you think you could replace your upcoming projects with. So awesome there. That's all I really got for this one. If you do like this video, which I'm putting onto YouTube, so this is the first podcast I'm trying like a split where I'm doing the video and the audio, and I'm just going to split them out. So if you're watching this on YouTube, please subscribe if you've really liked it. Give a like if you like the video. Leave any comments in the comment section below. And if you're listening to this in iTunes, this, the podcast version, there is a video version on YouTube, obviously. And please leave a rating and review that in iTunes. That'd be awesome. Alternatively, if you are watching this on YouTube as well, please do check out the podcast in iTunes and give that some support if you are enjoying it. But other than that, we'll catch the next one. Bye.